listen to this verse of scripture. I want everybody to listen to this verse. Proverbs 24:10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I read that verse one time and God showed me. You don't faint because of the bigness and the greatness of the adversity. You're fainting because of the smallness of your strength. The devil knows if he can get you weak, he can get you wicked. The devil knows that if he can get you weak, he can whip you. Amen. Listen, I'm talking about pursuing help from God. Amen. I know what some of you think. Preacher, why would I want to pray when I can worry? Yeah. God says, why worry when you can pray? Amen. Anyway, I'm not going to preach this. Write it down. I'm telling you, you're talking about preaching material right here. Him pursuing help from God was stirred by fear. The Bible said there in the Word of God, Jehoshaphat feared. You say, preach, it's not good to fear. It's a good fear when it drives you to God. It's a bad fear when it drives you to the world, but it's a good fear when it drives you to God. Hey, parents, remember when your little kids, one of your little children got scared of something, maybe in a dark room, whatever, and they come running, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. Oh, they was afraid, all right. But the fact they run and then jumped in your arms and embraced you, that was saying, I believe you. I've got confidence in you. Him pursuing help from God was stirred by fear. Watch this, number two. It was not only stirred by fear, but also it involved the setting of his face. The Bible said that he set his face to seek the Lord. He set himself in verse 3. And if you study that out, set himself means he set his face. What do you mean set his face? Set himself. He set his face to look at the Lord. That's why he said in our text verse, but our eyes are upon thee. Yes, and he, listen, are listening? Right here will help you. This will help you. You know what it means to set yourself to seek the Lord? Let's just say you're the great host that's coming against me. You're the great multitude that's coming against poor old Jehoshaphat. You know what would be easy for me to do? This number. Set myself to see you and stay up all night, develop ulcers, complain, whine, lose your joy, lose your shout and your testimony, start laying out of Sunday school, start missing Wednesday night service. But that's not what that means. The Bible said he set himself to seek the Lord. Amen. Oh God of our fathers. Do you see what happened? Amen. When I set my face to seek the Lord, I had to turn my back on that which was a distraction to me. Why would I want to focus on those that wants to hurt me? Come on. I'm looking at some that's just like that. You're focusing on your enemy. You're focusing on your valley. You're focusing on your problems. That's all you pay attention to. Hey, where's God at? Where's the problem? In front of you. Where's the answer? Behind you. I tell you what some of you need to do. Turn around. Set yourself to seek God. Turn your back against the adversary. Turn your back against the enemy. And turn your face toward the one that can help you tonight. Pursued help of God. It was stirred by fear. It involved setting his face. Lord help us, I got a lot of preaching. Whew, son. I've got to give you this. Do you realize that you're naturally made up to turn your eyes away from what you don't like? Do you know that's true? How many knows that? Come on now, try to stay with me. I guarantee you're not as hot as I am. How many of us know that it's a natural thing for us to turn our head and not look at what is that we don't like? Isn't that not natural? For me, I have several illustrations, but let me just give you one. I blowed my left knee out playing football years ago. I know y'all don't believe that. But dynamite comes in small packages. When a 400-pound linebacker gets after a 100-pound halfback, he's going to be moving on, I promise. Anyway, I blowed my knee out. And I like watching football to this day. I like it. I like it. But now when there's when somebody falls into the knee of a quarterback or something happens and they replay it, I can watch it all the way up to that point and I can't stand it. I can't stand it. Why? I don't like it. I hate it. Are you listening? Now if that's so physically, come on now. How are we doing? How are we doing? We doing all right? If it's something nasty, Brother Phillips, we won't look at it. God, ooh, that's gross. Ooh, nasty.
Come on, preacher.
But then the very thing that's killing us spiritually. Wow. Man, I hate that. It's killing me. It's took my song. It's took my shout. I don't have no desire to serve God no more, but I'll tell you how I'm dealing with it. Well, preacher, I've got a problem. Here's how I'm dealing with it. I stare at it all day. I stare at it all night. It's all I talk about. It's all I think about. I get on the phone. I can't even talk about the weather for talking about my problem. How you expect to get some help from God when all you do is set at your face toward the enemy? If you don't like the situation, why don't you do something about it? None of that crowd's bothering me now. Hey, none of that crowd's bothering me. Amen. Hey, whoa, glory to God. Watch out now. Here's some powerful words. The Bible said he set himself. Well, I wish the preacher would turn my chair around. Well, I wish the deacons would turn my chair around. I wish mom would turn. Hey, why don't you turn your own chair around? Hey. Hey. Glory. Amen. I shouldn't have drunk that 5-hour energy. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't. I feel like I did though, man, I'm telling you. Hey, some liberty up here and power up here, amen. Set yourself to seek the Lord. It was stirred by fear. Involved setting of his face. Involved thirdly, a sacrifice of fasting. Fourthly, it was shared by a fellowship. Shared by a fellowship. Look at look here. Everybody looking? Man, alive, I've not preached that long. I got my watch going. See? Preacher said, preach on. Look. Look at this. Verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared, set himself to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast. Verse 4, and listen, throughout all Judah, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Pursue help of God. And it involved a shared fellowship. It wasn't just Jehoshaphat. Now I'm going to preach right here a minute. You might as well just sit on up in your chair. Amen. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to have more than just the Jehoshaphats in the pulpit doing the praying for the local church. We need the whole crowd get up under the burden of the church and to pray. Here's something that'll help you, local church. Here's something that'll help you. this great multitude that was against Jehoshaphat was also against the people. It does involve you. How many preachers I've met across the country, and they feel like they're carrying the spiritual load of their church, and it's killing them. It's killing them dead. Preachers, Jehoshaphat, there's no exception. You need to pray. You need to set yourself to seek the Lord. And oh Lord, how many times I've done that and how many times I've not done that. How did I know about that chair illustration? Because I've done that before. Not the actual illustration. That's the first time I've ever done that. But I mean, I've done that spiritually. And then wondering why in the world I thought about resigning and everything, because I turned the wrong way. I was looking at the wrong thing, focusing the wrong thing. Listen, it was shared by fellowship. Look at this real quick. Look at this real quick in verse number 13. But all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones. Hello, little ones. Do we have any little ones in the tabernacle tonight? Hello, little ones. Do we have any little ones in the congregation? Do we have any little kids? Stand to your feet. Little kids, stand to your feet. Brother Jarvis, stay seated. We've got one back here standing. So we've only got one little one, two little ones, three little ones, four little ones. Why are you not standing? There you go. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. There you go. I like it. They don't stand up on their own. Stand them up. Amen. That's right. You're a little one. Stand up. What are y'all afraid? I'm going to take up an offering or something? My goodness. Stand up. This is bad. Can't even get the kids to stand up. What's the deal? Somebody bring lollipops tomorrow night. My goodness. Listen. Look what it said. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones. It's not just parents doing it, but they're doing it with their little ones. Little ones needs spiritual mamas and spiritual daddies and spiritual grandparents. Brother, I tell you, I praise God for our youth choir and our youth group. I mean, got the touch of God on them, brother, and it's in spite of me. I know that. But I'm going to tell you what helps young people more than anything is if they've got some godliness at the house, if they've got some spirituality at the house. If all you get is at church, you're not going to do much. Amen. Come on, moms. Best thing you can do, give your children is a spirit-filled mom. Amen. Listen. They stood there with Jehoshaphat with all their little ones, their wives, and their children. We need a group effort. Brother Kerrigan, we need everybody on deck. We need everybody on board. We need every person in every church being spiritual. Serving God. Living for God. Walking with God. What are you going to do when you don't know what to do? Pursue help of God. Write this down. Number two. I know what some of you think. Lord, unto God. I'm not coming back tomorrow night. If I do, I'm bringing a lunch. Well, that'll be fine. I said that in a revival down in North Carolina one day. I come in the next night and there was a lady sitting on the back row. And she had a paper bag, brother, this big. Sitting in her lap. And I just walked, you know, the back row and was going up to where I was going to sit. I said, how you doing, ma'am? She said, fine. And, of course, that curiosity killed me. I said, what you got? She pulled out a salad and all this stuff. She said, I got my lunch, amen. I said, it looks like you've been to Golden Corral, if you ask me, amen. Listen, I'm trying to keep some of you from spiritual fatality. I'm trying to keep some of you. God is trying to send you a message on what to do. Some of you are on the verge of making a bad move, a wrong choice because your back's against the wall and you're not responding spiritually. You're fixing to make a stupid mistake that you're going to regret. And God's trying to send a message tonight. I believe that with all that's within me. I've known for some time what God wanted me to preach tonight. I've known it. Are you listening? Number two, write it down quickly. I can't spend all night on every point. You're going to have to get it quicker. Say amen, Brother Kerrigan. Tell them. They're going to have to get it quicker. I can't preach an hour on every point. Y'all going to have to get it quicker. I spent 15 minutes trying to get the kids to stand up. Don't blame me for preaching all night. Be swift to hear. Amen. Some of you wouldn't laugh if a gnat pushed a bale of hay down that. Amen. Glory! We'll just take a break a few minutes. Amen. Number two, write down. You ready? Still got your Bibles open? Still attentive? Still listening? What to do when you don't know what to do? Pursue help of God. Respond spiritually. Seek God. Because if you're going to get any help, it's going to come from Him. Number two. Jehoshaphat, what are you going to do when you don't know what to do? He persevered with God's house. He persevered with God's house. Look, chapter 20, verse number 8. And they dwelt there, verse number 8. And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment, pestilence, and famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, and then thou wilt hear. Hello. Pursue help of God. Persevere with God's house. Why do you think Hebrews 10:25 is still in the book? Forsake not, amen, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. You say, preacher, what does that mean? The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more we're going to need church, the more we're going to need the fellowship of the saints, the more we're going to need preaching, the more we're going to need exhorting. Are you late? Amen. That's right. But I want to tell you one of the first things. I've been in this thing long enough. I can say it. I don't have to give somebody else's illustrations. One of the first things Brother Rochester people does when they start getting slack on God is they start missing church. Jehoshaphat, what are you going to do? I'm pursuing help of God. I'm keep praying. What else are you going to do? Persevere with God's house. I'm going to stand before this house. Pestilence and sword and all that coming. I tell you what we're going to do. We're not running. We're standing before this house. We're staying with the house of God. We're staying with church. Amen. Come on now. I believe this. One of the first things the devil moves in getting you out of church is to get church out of you. Come on now. I know. Amen. I'm on target. Some of you are still going to church outwardly, but you're not going to church inwardly. You're going to church physically, but you're not going to church spiritually. You're going to church, hello, you're going to church visibly. People saw you in church Sunday, but you weren't there spiritually. You weren't there mentally. Come on now. God's a nail in your hide to the wall, and you know it. You're bored with spiritual things. You're only surviving right now. You're going to church not because you want to. You're going because you have to. You're afraid of the preacher's going to call you. Hey, I want to tell you, you're in trouble. You're in bad trouble. Not with the preacher, but you're in danger of getting out of the house of God. Guarantee it. Preacher gets up and preach. Let me demonstrate. I can do it good. You know why? I told our people, I said, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to invest in a camera that's going to be in the back of the choir, that's going to do over the shoulder shots of the preacher. I said, I want y'all to see what I preach to every Sunday. Man of God prays. gets a message, Brother Phillips, from God, comes with a burden to preach, got fire in his soul to preach, prayed, got God on him to preach, and he gets to preaching, and there's some back there like this. Oh yeah, that's real encouraging. I mean, that makes me want to just serve God till I die. Preach your heart out. Got a word, Brother Kerrigan, from God. I mean, not something you ordered offline. Got a word. Kids sitting back there going, and watch this right here. I seen this the other day. Not in my church. I call them down. Let's just say that I'm a... Let me say... No, you ain't going to preach. You're my parent right now. I'm sitting beside him in a church pew. Preacher's preaching his heart out. I'm playing games, texting, fooling around on the cell phone. And I've watched parents, instead of watching the preacher, they're leaned over this way. You know, like it's right here. Come on now. I've seen it. Shame on you, parents, if you let your little child bring a game boy to the house of God. You're teaching them to play when the preaching's going on. How you expect the preacher to win your child to God when you're encouraging him to play Donkey Kong? Amen. It may not be nothing wrong with it at the house, but not the house of God. Not while the preaching's going on. I told one of ours Sunday, hello. I feel a tiger scratching at the gate, amen. I told one of ours Sunday, I said, did you enjoy your nap this morning? And I wasn't smiling either. I said, did you enjoy your nap? Oh, I wasn't asleep. I said, you wasn't asleep? I said, you fooled me. I said, usually it's a good indication you're asleep when your eyes stays consistently closed. I wasn't a preach. I wasn't asleep. I was listening. I said, let me ask you something. When you play an Xbox, is your eyes closed? When you're fishing, is your eyes closed? When you're golfing, is your eyes closed? When you're cutting up with your friends, is your eyes closed? I said, no, your eyes are open because you're interested in what's going on. Your eyes are closed in church because you're bored out of your stinking mind. Amen. I'm going to have to hurry. My sweetness is getting sweated out. Persevere with God's house. Why? Gives three things here. Oh, Lord, please don't give us three things. Well, right there they are in verse 9. They're all in verse 9. Why should you stay with the house of God? Because there's a connection between the Lord's house and the Lord's presence. We stand before this house and in thy presence. Don't tell me how you're worshiping God and all this stuff when you're laying out of church. Verse number 9 also shows us connection between the Lord's house and His name. You stay in church because of His name. You get out of church because of your name. Oh yeah, I felt that one. Verse number 9 also shows us there's a connection between the house of God and God hearing you when you pray. And then thou wilt hear in hell. Don't expect God to hear you when you lay out of His church. When God sends a message through His servant, amen, sends a message through His servant to preach to the people. Are you listening to the preacher tonight? And you're not there to hear it? Laying out when God's speaking to you. You've got a deaf ear when God's speaking to you. God's not going to hear you when you pray. I believe a lot of people's in trouble. Hello? Hello? Preacher, if y'all want me to leave tonight, I'll go home. I want to tell you, friend, listen, I'm going to preach a burden off of me tonight if we have to take a nap and doing it. Amen. God's not done yet. You may be done, but God's not done yet. I want to tell you, a lot of people are in major trouble with God because they are ignoring the preaching. They've got a deaf ear to preaching. They don't even show up half the time for preaching.
Go ahead, preacher.
We need a word from God. Hey, you think God's going to give you a word? You got it in the Bible. You won't even read it. God sends it through His preacher. You won't even go to church. God sends a word through your Sunday school teacher and you won't even go to Sunday school. Is this camp meeting or what? Amen. That's right. Amen. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, friend. I tell you what, bring revival. Is everybody listening? Everybody hearing the preacher good and loud? Amen. I tell you what, bring revival is if some of the local church members right here in this tabernacle, and I don't have anybody in mind, but God said, say it, shoot that arrow to venture. I'm a shooting it. I tell you, some of you is not right with God because you're not right with your preacher. You're bossing the man of God. You're bossing the preacher. Amen. You're treating him like he's your hireling. He's your little puppy dog. He's your little puppet. Look at that, Brother Robert. I'm not even nervous. You are not spiritual when you're not submitted to God's man. Keep your mouth off of God's man. Bring yourself. And listen, I'm not talking about if you got a hireling. If you've got a liberal, leave or run him off. But if you've got a man of God that preaches for that King James Bible, he tells the truth. Amen. Get right. Well, I don't know what crack that went in, but that went in a crack somewhere. Amen. Did you feel it went in a crack, didn't it? The house of God. Let me give you this and I'm going on. I've got to get to number three. I know what some of you are thinking. Okay, preacher, you've done said you got three. How many more? Well, it depends on how good, quick you listen. See, we went through that and quit. Let me give you this statement right here. Please, please, let me have your attention. The house of... Listen, church, this is one of my old Rackleyisms. Church is not a location. It's a life. You know why you're in and out, on and off of church? It's only a place you go. It's not a life you practice. If you live church, you don't mind going to church. A lot of people don't live church because they don't go to church. They may show up at church, but they don't go to church. Amen, pastors. Y'all would all be shouting if you wasn't afraid. Wow, preach, preacher. That's what one of them said a while ago. I can read lips, amen. Number three, write it down quickly. Write it down quickly. We're getting close. I'm hungry. Pursue help of God. Keep praying. Persevere with God's house. I had a man testify in our church Sunday. He said, preacher, and these messages on slackness have been tough. I mean, whew, son, I've got myself under conviction. But he told me, in front of the crowd, he testified. He said, preacher, thank you for preaching hard. Not harsh, but thank you for preaching hard. And he said, preacher, you may preach me to the altar, but you're not preaching me to the house. Amen. Glory! Amen. Number three, what to do when you don't know what to do? Proclaim your helplessness to God. Proclaim your helplessness to God. Verse 12 and 13. Against this company we have no might. There's a strength that comes through weakness. Jacob was made strong when he went from fighting against the angel to clinging to the angel of the Lord. Paul, the thorn in the flesh, was brought to a condition of weakness And he thought my answer would be to get rid of the thorn. He prayed three times for the thorn to be removed. Everybody still with me? He prayed three times for the thorn to be removed. And the Lord did not answer that prayer. But the Lord did say, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. When the Holy Ghost clicked that into Paul's mind and showed him that truth, that God's strength is transmitted through my weakness, he said, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. This principle is revealed in Hebrews 11:34. Out of weakness, we're made strong. Number four, write it down. See how quick we went with that one? Number four, what to do when you don't know what to do? Practice what you hear from God. Oh boy. We're going to dig in that hole again, sure as a world. Look at verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, verse 15, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed, be it by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. He said, on down in there, you shall not fight in this battle. What to do? What to do when you don't know what to do? Practice what you hear from the preacher. God anointed. Isn't that amazing? Come on. Isn't that amazing when Jehoshaphat wanted a word from God? God anointed a preacher to preach. God's Spirit came on Jehaziel. He stood up and began to preach. And guess what he said? Hearken ye. Hearken ye. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? Practice what you hear. And there's a lot more that we could say. Number five, and I'm done. D-O-N-E. Done. I figured I'd spell it. Verse 21, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Praise the holiness of God. Let's pick up in verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord and did what? Worshiping the Lord. The multitude was still there. Hello? The battle was still there all around them. The threat was still there. But they was worshiping. What made a difference? Oh, this is good. What made the difference? What took them from worry to worship? The Word. They got a word from God, the anointed preacher, and help us preachers. God help us. Oh, we need to be anointed when we stand to preach. They began to worship the Lord. Verse number 19, of course the Korahites was in there with them, stood up as well, verse 19, to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Are you listening? And they rose early in the morning, and on down in verse number 20, it said, hear me, O Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Well, that's pretty plain. That's pretty plain, don't you think? Amen. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper. Verse 21, our text for this thought. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Did you see that, brother? Hey, Jehoshaphat, that great host is still there. There's still as many now as there was. They're still against you. But Jehoshaphat's got a word from God. And Jehoshaphat gets all of his crowd together and said, hey, come here. Here's our plan. Okay, we're listening. How are we going to attack? What are we going to do? Well, no, God's done told us we're not fighting in this. Whew. Thank the Lord. Praise God. I'm glad we don't have to fight against that crowd.
Yeah.
Boy, it is a relief when you find out that the battle's the Lord's and you don't have to fight. But Jehoshaphat said, here's what we're going to do. Here's our plan. Since we don't have to war, we're going to worship. Hey, since the Lord's going to take care of our problem, we're going to do some praising.
Amen.
So gather around and we're going to appoint some singers and we're going to get some praisers and shouters, amen, together, and we're just going to praise God. We're going to praise the Lord. We're going to praise the beauty of His holiness. Can you imagine what that did to the enemy? We've got you outnumbered, Jehoshaphat. We're going to take you down, big boy. You ain't nothing. You ain't nothing. But they couldn't see who was for them. You ain't nothing. What do you mean you over there shouting it out? Hey, you. What, hey, what do you mean over there singing praise the Lord for His mercy? Oh, that kills the devil. Don't it, Brother Phillips? Don't it kill the enemy when you got your eyes off of them? You got your mind off of them. You don't even know they're there. You've turned your focus upward and you're saying, praise God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. To God be the glory. Great things is done. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So, until you know what to do, just get to praising. It works. Ask Paul and Silas in the jail. It works. You know what some of you are doing? You're trying to fix your problems by pouting. Ah, come on. I'm not now done. Some of you think the fix to your situation is to look sad. Let me let you in on a scriptural secret. Sadness is not spiritual. And most of the time when you do it and I do it and we all do it, come on, we're professionals. Come on. Let me turn and give you a side image. You was looking in the mirror. We all know how to do the poochy lip. Come on. We don't get our way. Well, I've seen a few. I spotted a few here tonight already. You don't like a bit what more I've been preaching, but I'm telling you honest before God, if it's the last message I ever preach, if I face God in the next 30 seconds, I've preached honest to the Spirit. I preached as honest as I know how to the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's right. Listen. Sadness is not spiritual. Sadness is an indication of direction. You're going backwards. The two on the road to Emmaus, Jesus came up beside them. Of course, they didn't know who He was to begin with. And He said, why are you sad? Did He not ask them that? Why are you sad? The tomb is empty. The blood's on the altar. Redemption's paid for. The devil's forever defeated. He's headed to the lake of fire. All of God's family's headed for heaven. Why are you sad?
That's right.
Well, are you a stranger in town? You must not know what's been going on in my life. And so here's the omniscient, all-knowing Christ that knows everything, even your thoughts afar off. And He said, really? Well, tell me about it. Well, we really thought that this was the one, but He ain't it. I mean, we're talking to Him, but He's not it. We thought He was going to be the King. We thought He was going to be setting up His kingdom. And you know what? It didn't happen the way we thought He was going to do. And I thought God was going to answer my prayer. Maybe God's plan's bigger than yours. Maybe you can't see past the end of your nose. God sees the big picture. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. He knows what He's doing. He's never made a mistake. He's never made a mistake. He's God. Hallelujah. And I'm reading this verse. Y'all do the invitation. I'm reading this verse. They got to praising God. Verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. What to do when you don't know what to do? Pursue help of God. Persevere with God's house. Proclaim your helplessness to God. Practice what you hear from God. And praise the holiness of God. And see what happens. In fact, I believe I know what happened. If you're busy with them 5 points right there, you'll be so busy with them, you won't know about all that other stuff. That's going to keep you busy till you die. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Preach, y'all come.